those hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a reason why we are gathered here this morning. Amen. I just want you, if you can speak in the mystery language, in tongues. You can just speak for maybe 5 minutes. If you can't, just pray in your understanding and God will still hear us this morning. If you can pray in tongues, just pray. And if you can't pray in tongues, just pray in your understanding in anything the Lord puts in your heart this morning. Yes. So kuri hasasa karabaye bara. Mose se keri bahasole heri heseturea. Mosara hasaka rabasoto se keri hesulara. Mose se keri hezeleria. Mo asekre heturi hezelere bahapala hapalara. Nasse se li heprohusolori baba baba sheke peria. Mori hezaka papa papa sheke peperia. Zokeri baba 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 sheke peperia. Zeri hasaka papa papa sheke peperia. Zeke pepepe sheke peperia. Mosori hasaka papa papa papa. Amen. Father Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day in your presence. Thank you, O God, for bringing your people here today. I ask, O Lord, that your spirit, O God, would move again. I ask, O God, that you would touch someone's life like you've never touched before. Lord, I ask, O God, that you would transform someone's life. Lord, I just pray that you would just give a word to someone this morning. Hallelujah. 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 To some of us that haven't really spoken in tongues, it's something that you must desire. The Bible tells us that, you know, when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries to God. Most of the time we speak in our understanding. That is not too bad. But there are times your spirit has to intercede for those things that your mind cannot comprehend. Amen, somebody. I just want to share the word with us this morning from the book of Daniel. And I'm sorry that I didn't really prepare it to bring it in the computer for some of those scriptures to come on screen. But you can just bear with me this morning and just do it just like you normally do in your houses and open your Bibles. Let's open to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I just want you to read Daniel 3, chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 14. I just want you to read it silently from there. We share the word of God with us this morning. Daniel chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. And I'll just read it for us this morning, if in case you didn't bring your Bibles. Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. And I go to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they hit the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. We'll be meditating on the topic, standing on a firm foundation. Standing on a firm foundation. You know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was during the Oasis week or something, a picture was brought up here about a foundation. And a question was asked that if you want to build a house, what kind of things would you need to make that house or to build that particular house? And answers came from us. Someone said that we need a plot. Someone said that we had to dig a foundation for the house to stand on. But the question that we want to meditate on, standing on a firm foundation, the question that I want to ask us this morning is, what foundation are you standing on? What type of foundation are you standing on? Because if you know the type of foundation that you are standing on, you know that when the adversity, when trials, when temptations in life hits you as a person or as a Christian, you know where to draw help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know where to draw help when that help comes. But from the passage that we have read this morning, it's talking about the children of Judah. The Bible makes us to understand that they had been captured and they were in the land of Babylon. And they were under the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible makes us to understand that they were captives in this particular land. And part of Nebuchadnezzar's one of the things that he did in his kingdom was to choose from among the people the best brains that the kingdom could offer at that particular time. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were one of those that were opportune to be chosen by the king to serve in the kingdom of Babylon. If you read Psalms 137, it gives you a picture about the travail, about the suffering that the children of Israel or the children of God were going through in the land of Babylon. That's why it said that by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. They were in the hands of the captive, so they remembered when they were free. They remembered when they were enjoying freedom of worship in the temple. So while in the hands of the enemies, while in the hands of their captors, they asked of them songs of joy. They asked themselves that, how shall we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on poplars we hung our harps, for our captors asked of us songs of joy. And we said, How shall we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? Here are these three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a strange land. They were all believers of God. Hallelujah. They were all believers of God. But even while they found themselves in an adverse culture, in a godless, or call it a polytheistic society, a society where you find many gods, amen? They had something in your mind. But this morning, I don't just want to, you know, just to narrate the story about of what happened in chapter 3 of this book, but I want us to look at some of the aspects that we can, you know, we can emulate in our lives as Christians, so that it's going to help us in our journey as Christians. As Christians. So one of the things that I found, that I saw on this particular passage, is and I'll read very soon. The knowledge of God. So one of the things that comes into mind while reading this particular passage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had the knowledge of God. You know, there is one thing for you to have scriptures, or for you to memorize scriptures, and there is another thing for you to put those scriptures into practice. That's why when you read the parable, when the parable of the wise and the foolish builder, Jesus makes us to understand that it is, let me use the word of James, it is not those who hear the word that are justified. It is the doer of the word that have a favor in the sight of God. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, it tells you that two people wanted to build a house. One built it on sand, and the other built it on the rock. And many things happened that the two houses had to pass through same conditions. But what kept the house on the rock, the house that was built on the rock, was its foundation in God. So the question I want to ask us this morning, again, on what foundation are you standing on? You know, as Christians, to be a Christian doesn't mean that, you know, problems are kept away from you. But God informs us through His Word that His purpose of making us is to create in us, to refine us, to pass through a kind of fiery situation, that we may come out as not just a Christian, but as a victorious Christian in whatever circumstance or situation that befalls you. Amen? In whatever circumstance or situation that befalls you. The Bible makes us to understand that Nebuchadnezzar was infuriated, was angry, that these people, you know, they opposed his command, that, you know, they had to bow down and worship the image that he had created. And the second question I want to ask us this morning, knowing the storyline of chapter 3 of this book, are we going through a similar situation as Christians in this generation? Are we going through a similar situation as these people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went through? In the world today, you know, one would expect that, you know, when you give your life to God, when you give your life to Christ, your friends will celebrate you, your friends in the world. But most often, those are the kind of people that will ridicule you most of your life. Maybe some of you didn't pass through some of those stages that when you became a Christian, some people gave you maybe, just give him 3 months and he will come back, you know, to associate in the kind of lifestyle that we find ourselves. In various families, we have heard about situations that people who identify themselves in the redemptive work of Christ, instead of their families to celebrate that, oh, this person has taken a great leap in his life. He has identified, he wants to follow the path of righteousness. He wants to follow the path of faith. But they look at them as maybe a kind of freak in the house. One has to ask the question, is it a wrong thing for us to serve God? So on that particular situation, let me say, for a boy or a girl who was involved, maybe spending all of his life, maybe in the bars and getting drunk and walking on the street, maybe someone had to lead them home. And after a while, they heard the good news that was preached to them, and they decided to give their life to Christ. They surrendered their life to Christ, and they announced to their brothers or their sisters that, I have given my life to Christ. And they now become a mockery in the sight of God. The situation we find ourselves this morning, or the situation that we find that the Christians of this generation, is similar to that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of you can bear with me this morning that as you have become a Christian, it hasn't become easy for you in where you live, in where you work, or where you reside, or in your daily activities. There is constant friction coming out from the world. But the Bible makes us to understand that we are not of the world. Hallelujah. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world is a system that doesn't put God in its first place. We as Christians, we are in the world, but we have put God first. So in our thinking, before we act, we have to ask ourselves that is my action in line with what God expects from me? But a man in the world or a person in the world doesn't have any type of check, any spiritual check in his mind. His mind is free, his mind is virgin, he can do whatever he pleases to do. But when we identify ourselves with the Lord, we come to a place of Him being our Father. He now takes control of every minute detail of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on this particular passage, the second thing that I found was that God uses obedience of His children to demonstrate His name, His power, and His sovereignty. God uses obedience of His children to demonstrate His name, His power, and His sovereignty. In the land of Babylon, these people, particularly Nebuchadnezzar, had an idea about gods, but he hadn't met the true God. In the world that we find ourselves in, the UK, many people have an idea about God, but they've not had an encounter with the true and living God. They have their own standard of the way they expect God to act. When you are a reader, you see some of these atheists, some of the questions that they ask. Christians in time past, they've wasted so much time trying to argue with an atheist. An atheist is someone who has really identified, who has taken a firm stand in what he believes. And it doesn't only end there. He goes around trying to convert people not to believe in what you believe. We find many people, they are not very hostile to Christians. But they have not identified themselves as atheists. They have not taken a stand to fight against the things of God. To fight against the things of God. So in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, he had an idea about God, but he had not had an encounter about God. So that's why he was surprised that he had to erect an image. But these three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down to the image that he created. Now I want us to ask ourselves this morning that where were the other Jews? They were not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the land of Babylon. Where were the other Jews? Where were the other Jews? Where were the other Jews? Today we are called Christians because we believe in the redemptive work of Christ. But when it comes to the things of God, in the actions that we have to portray this character that God has inbuilt in us, where is our response when it comes to that particular aspect? You might not necessarily show it to someone, but when you are faced with thoughts that wants to lead you astray, what do you comfort yourself in those times when adverse thoughts come? Just like what Paul was saying in the book of Romans. Paul was not really committing a particular sin, but he identified with everyone the situation that a person who hasn't come to the knowledge of God go through. He said, "Oh, poor wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this wretched state that I am?" But he went on to say that Jesus, the reason why we are gathered here this morning is because of that person named Jesus. He is the one who paid the price for our sins, that we might have access in the presence of the Father by his own blood. That's why I disagree with many people that say with other religions that we are worshiping the same God. Particularly the Muslim religion, we don't worship the same God. Because no one can come to the presence of the Father except by his blood. Except by the blood. It is by the blood that we have access in his presence. In the Old Testament, high priests were supposed to intercede for the people. But in the New Testament, Christ now becomes our high priest. Amen? Christ now becomes our high priest. The book of Hebrews makes us to understand that Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's why we can come boldly in his presence. That's why we can come boldly in his presence. Where were the other Jews? If you read Hebrews 11, it's going to give us a summary of the exploits of people of faith. For us to be called a Christian doesn't necessarily give us faith, because if you look at the Bible, if you have identified yourself with Christ, you have the initial faith that is good in itself. But you have little faith, you have great faith, and you have almost three types that, if you read the New Testament. So what type of faith do you have? Are you the type of Christian that when you go through difficult moments, you easily back down, that you easily surrender, that, you know, God is going to, that, you know, are you a type of Christian that, you know, that you become, I don't know what kind of word to use, you become indifferent to the situation that that life puts you in? Where were the other Jews? The second thing that I found about these people, they were people of great faith. They didn't just have a head knowledge about God. Because the book of Daniel, if you read, the Bible makes us to understand that they that know their God, they shall walk strong and do exploits. So it is only in the knowledge of God that we can begin to do exploits. I've come to ask you this morning, how much or how full of the knowledge of God do you have to keep you in the situation that life may present to you? Our problems may be different, but every solution is found in the Word of God. Are you sick this morning? You can call up to God and ask, oh God, save me from this situation. Even if you can't take this sickness away, I'm not going to give up my faith as a Christian. Are you going through difficult moments in your finances? Are you going through difficult moments in your finances? Are you going through hard times in your marriage? But God is instructing us this morning that there's a way out. Every word is found in, every solution is found in my word. You have to identify the particular key to open that situation. That's why the Bible makes us to understand that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy in this sense is symbolic of that place that God comes and lifts you up and bring a smile in your face. That's why James tells us that, you know, count it all joy when you pass through diverse trials and temptations, because the trial of your faith produces perseverance. That a man of God, if you go and read downward, may be perfect and lacking nothing. You might be going through what you're going through this morning. You might be going through that fiery situation in your mind. But God wants to, not just to physically deliver you, just like he did in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he wants to add character, godly character, in your life. So why can't you just allow that I'm going to stand on the word of God as a firm foundation? Because it's the only thing that I can stand on that can give me a headway in life. Why can't you choose the word of God this morning and stand on that firm foundation that is Jesus Christ? Without Jesus, our lives are in crisis. Without Jesus, our lives are in disorder. Without Jesus, our lives, we are hopeless. But thanks be to God that we have one who has gone through the heavens, and that person is Jesus. That we can boldly come in his presence this morning. I don't know about your situation this morning, but I've come to tell you that if you allow the word of God to go through us, to allow the word of God to pass through us, God can use that situation to change the decree of the land. It is never going to be easy for Christians, because Christianity was born out of the heat of the world. But these people did not allow the heat, the fires of the world, to quench the knowledge or the redemption that they found in Christ. But they took upon that step to evangelize, to take the word to the four ends of the earth, that today we can all enjoy Christianity. We can all enjoy the blessings of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is looking for a people. God decided to use the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to change the decree of the land, which would have been otherwise, disastrous to them. Go to the book of Esther. Esther had to stand in the gap for the Jews in that particular case. Maybe God wants to use you in that particular situation to change the decrees of the land. I don't know everything about the British law, but I see, regulations being passed, and the effect goes back to the Christians. Laws and regulations have been passed every single day. Christians are asking themselves that, how can we survive in such a climate? How can we survive in such an adverse situation that is, it is all against everything that Christ, that we believe in? And it seems as if the other religions seem to have an open door in whatever they do. But I've come to comfort us this morning that we are not in competition, because we have a living God who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The other religions may be afraid that they might lose members if we go out and preach to someone. But we are happy this morning that we can preach to someone, and we have a Savior that can convict by the power of His Spirit. That's why we are not afraid. Because we have a living Savior this morning. God wants to change the decrees because people haven't come to know Him. Or probably they've gotten, probably they've had, a picture of what God seems like. Just like the other people who ask so many questions that, why is there suffering and all of these things. They dare into the word, if they could come that, I don't understand the things about God. Could you please tell me why is there suffering? We'll begin to tell them that there is suffering. Christ has paid the price for our sin that we might have access to the Father. We might begin to instruct them from this book. But they pick some of the things that they feel that they can argue against us to put us in a corner that we might not excel in our Christianity. But God wants to change the situation or the decree of the land. So through this particular passage, in a nutshell, what God is saying, in whatever situation that you're going through, just allow Him have His way. And when you allow Him have His way, He has the power to change the decree of the enemy against your life in that spiritual sense. Maybe you have been battered by sickness, but God is just saying, just lift up your eyes to me, and I am the one who heals. I am the one that delivers. God wants to change your situation. Are you going to allow Him this morning? Because we serve a God who stood upon nothing and created this world that we see. We serve a God that walked upon the waters. We serve a God that when we begin to practice what He tells us, we begin to walk in the waves of life. Just like Peter. When Peter asked that Jesus, Master, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus told him, come. So he walked on that particular word. So the word of God has power to change us, to transform us this morning. I just want us to bow our heads this morning. I believe God has spoken to us. I just want you to bow your heads this morning. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I hear the voice of the Spirit. I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to someone's situation right now. A word of knowledge for someone. And I'll describe the situation. That your life is just like You don't seem to understand your life or your work with the Lord. It seems as if, you know, you have been blown every way, every side by the wind. It seems as if your feet is not really standing. But God says, I should tell you this morning, that His grace is sufficient for you. Zula hasala hata seke pepe shike peria. Zo asituri hebekala hase lewele baka papa shike peria. Zoko popopo shike pepe keria babaka paseka papa papa shike peria. Zoko popopo shike pepe ria. I hear the Lord is healing someone with you have an unusual heartbeat. And I don't know how to describe it, but when you sit, you have a type of unusual heartbeat. God says, I should tell you this morning, that He's healing you from that particular situation. Zo hasaka papa pasheke peria, zo kele heseke pepe sheke peria, zo kopo popo sheke peria basaka. God is healing someone with an eye problem. I don't know who you are, but the Spirit of God says, God is healing someone with an acute eye problem. Zo kara hasaka papa sheke peria, zo kopo popo sheke peria hasaka papa sheke peria, zo kopo popo sheke peperia basaka pepe sheke peria. Hi, Pastor. I hear the Lord is saying that, you know, you have labored in His field for a long time, and you have such a wide vision to see many transform. He says He's going to crown your efforts with success. That's kusara baba kapasheke peria. Our brother that came today, this is a word that I've just heard the Spirit of God say to me. Is it Jacob? God saying this, that I should tell you this, that you've taken a bold step to serving. And there are certain things that you've been praying for. You don't seem to get all the answers. But God is saying to you this morning that He is in charge. That is going to open the door at the right time. God bless you. So ko po 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 shike peperia.